Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
It's such an honor to bring God's word to you today. Thank you, Pastor Brian, for that introduction. Can't believe it's already 20 years and God has allowed us to enjoy such a gift of good friendship, which we still enjoy as we serve together. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's service. Would you join me in appreciating the team that makes our Sundays possible? The tech team, the worship team, the creative team. In fact, if you are joining us online, would you type a thank you in the comment section just to express our gratitude for these amazing men and women? Did you also notice, by the way, that today our worship was led by our very own children from the Watoto Academy of Worship? We are excited about what God is doing in their lives. Each of these young men and women were rescued, and God is doing an amazing job in their lives, transforming them, and they are well on their way to bring transformation in this world for the glory of God. Wow, what a privilege we have to witness what God is doing. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. We're going to pray together and then delve right into God's word. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word. Your word brings life. Your word changes lives and it transforms our hearts. We pray that your word will come to us with simplicity and clarity. Use me as a vessel to say only what you want your people to hear. And at the end of the day, give us the grace to be doers of your word and not mere listeners of your word. We thank you and we honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome once again. It's been a great journey through the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to pick up on our reading from chapter 5, verse 21, all the way to chapter 6, verse 9. So pull out your Bibles, your iPads, any gadget that helps you to read the Bible, and let's read together. Verse 21. And father, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his own life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are the members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them at all times. not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Walk with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them, but remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. What an amazing portion of scripture. On this journey through the book of Ephesians, we've learned so far that God had a plan, and that plan included you and I. God adopted us into his family because it brought him so much pleasure. In chapter 2, we saw that we were dead in our sins, but by the grace of God, salvation was made available for everyone who put their faith in Jesus. This same salvation was available to both the Jews and the non-Jews, who were referred to as Gentiles. The outcome of the Jews and the non-Jews putting their faith in Jesus was one people referred to as the church. And so when we consider the first three chapters of the book, 1, 2, and 3, really, Paul is writing about the story of the gospel. Now, in chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul starts to write about the power of the gospel in the life of the believer, personally, in the community, but also in their family relations. And so, the portion we just read today, we notice that Paul is addressing the believer on how they should go about family relations. Paul opens this section in verse 21 by introducing a general principle that summarizes the behavior of a believer in his or her family when he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. To submit means to arrange oneself under someone's authority, just as soldiers would accept the authority of their commanding officer. And so there are two thoughts I'd like to share at this point. Number one, the principle of submission would apply to three family relationships, where the wives would submit to the husbands, the children would submit to their parents, and the servants or the slaves would submit to their masters. And when you notice the way that Paul writes, the one expected to submit was addressed first, followed by the one in authority. The second thing to note is that in each of these relationships, someone was required to exercise authority and lead, while the other was expected to gladly submit to that authority. However, this did not mean that the one exercising authority was superior compared to the one expected to submit. The purpose for this arrangement was mainly for orderliness in terms of family relationships. So the principle of submission was to be applied by the believer in their family relations out of reverence for Christ. In other words, the motivation or the primary reason for the submission in the family relationships was the acknowledgement of the authority of Jesus in the life of the believer. So let's consider the first relationship. Wives and husbands. Verse 22 says, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church." Verse 24 says, "As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything." The direct instruction to the wives here is submit to their husbands and not to men in general. The submission here is not enforced, but voluntary. It also means that the husband should not make his wife submit, but the wife submits voluntarily out of her own heart as a service to God. She submits as her contribution in lining up with God's great plan of bringing everything under the lordship of Jesus. The reason is stated very clearly in the scriptures, where the Bible says, for a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. So the wife is instructed to submit to her husband. Verse 25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, as we are members of his body. We see that the instruction to the husbands is love your wife. Love is a doing word, and Paul refers to Jesus, who showed his love for the church by giving up his life for her. John chapter 15 verse 13 tells us, there is no greater love than this, that a man would give his life for a friend. In other words, Jesus demonstrated the greatest form of love for the church when he gave his life for her. And in the same way, husbands ought to give their lives for their wives. They ought to love them with the demonstration to that extent, the highest form of love. As a husband, giving yourself up for your wife would include you regularly affirming your wife, telling her you love her, she's beautiful and she's special, being kind to her, being patient with her, taking her out to a nice place and just spending time to reaffirm that she indeed is a special person in your life. Buy her nice things, even when it feels like she has eaten or used up all your money. Still give sacrificially. Give of yourself, because that is a demonstration of love for your wife. When you love your wife as a husband, at the end of the day, your wife is going to have a full love tank. And guess what? You two are going to be happy. You have heard it said that happy wife, happy life. Jesus demonstrated his love for the church. And as husbands, the instruction is love your wife. Paul then writes about the harmony in the Christian marriage. When we consider verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. The purpose for the Christian marriage is that the husband loves his wife and the wife submits to her husband, all for the glory of God. God designed marriage as a lifelong relationship between one man and one woman for the primary purpose of partnering together in serving God and not personal happiness as individuals. I'll illustrate it this way. When two cyclists focus on the road ahead, they enjoy traveling closely together. However, we will crash if they are constantly gazing at each other. In the same way, a husband and a wife who focus on the mutual goal of serving God will enjoy being much closer together than those who focus on what makes them happy as individuals. And so the unity and the harmony that we see in a Christian marriage, from a man loving his wife and a wife submitting to her husband, reflect the beautiful purpose that God intended for this relationship called marriage. The second relation that we see, Paul addresses children and parents. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Obedience simply means doing as you are told. As a child, you are expected to obey your parent who is taking care of you. And the expectation is that the parent is submitted to God such that the nature of their instructions is leading the child into godly ways. Verse 2 and 3 go on to say that honor your father and mother. And this is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. as we grow older, a time comes when we actually move out of our parents' house. At this point, you may not obey domineering parents unquestioningly. However, the instruction to honor your parent lasts for a long time. The instruction applies for a lifetime. To honor simply means to respect and to love, regardless of the status of our parents. They could be rich or poor. They could be learned or unlearned. They could be good or bad parents. At the end of the day, as a child, your role is to honor your parent. This is what the scripture tells us. Honoring your parent may include making time out of your very busy schedule to go over to your parent, spend time with them, listen to them, laugh with them, build memories with them. And while you are visiting with them, it also may mean you noticing a need and meeting it. For some, it could be picking up an electric or water bill or fixing a leaking roof. When you do these things, the Bible says that the reward for this is a long and peaceful life. In verse 4, Paul addresses the fathers and he says, "Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Parenting is not an easy task. It requires time and also patience. However, the instruction to the fathers, and at this point, I want to extend it to parents and guardians. The instruction is, do not provoke the children to anger. Other versions say, do not exasperate the children, which means to irritate and frustrate them intensely. Some of the ways that we can frustrate our children is when we openly withhold the basic needs of life and yet we have the capacity to provide them. Or we demand that they uphold a standard that we ourselves are not willing to uphold. For example, we heavily punish our children for telling lies and yet occasionally we ask them to lie on our behalf. When the data comes and they need their money, we hide in our bedrooms and tell the children, hey, tell them I'm not there. That in itself is a double standard and it frustrates the children. At the end of the day, they may resent the parent or even it may cause bitterness that eventually trickles through to their relationships. As parents, guardians, fathers, we have the responsibility of making sure that our children feel safe at home. And they can pick up the sense of justice coming from a fairness that we as parents are providing in the relationships at home. The third relation that Paul writes to is that of servants and masters. In verse 5, it says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them at all time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good that we do, whether we are slaves or free." Paul speaks to the one in the role of serving. In their context, then it was the slave. But in our context today, it is a house help or a maid or even an employee. He instructs that as you do your role of serving, serve sincerely, not for eye service, but rather with an attitude that is focused on pleasing God. I came across a story of an expert builder who was nearing his time of retirement. His master knew about it and approached him with one last request, saying, "Hey, would you build for me one last house?" And the master added an extra instruction saying, "Make this your best project." The builder agreed to it. And when the master left and the materials arrived, the builder began to compromise on the concrete mix and began to cut corners on the dimensions and generally pay little attention to detail. At the end of the day, after doing a shoddy job, the house on the outside looked good, but only the builder knew what he had done. On the day when the master was supposed to get into his house, he approached the builder and he had invited friends to witness this amazing time. And he called the builder, told him, do you remember the time I told you to make this your best project? The builder nodded and said, yes, I do. And the master said, I told you to do it as your best because I wanted to reward you. And today, I hand you the keys to your brand new house. No one knew what the builder had done, not even the master. But God Almighty, who is the true master of all, knew exactly what the builder had done. And the builder that day was rewarded according to his work. Friends, let us serve sincerely as unto God, not for eye service. The instruction that Paul writes to the masters in verse 9 says, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them. Remember that you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Unfortunately, the world has taught us to derive worth from the categories based on how we earn and how much we have. But the truth of the matter is that none of those things determine our worth. Our worth is determined by the eternal value that God Himself has placed on us. And nothing can distort, destroy, or change our value. Our value is determined by God. And so Paul advises masters and leaders, saying, look, as you deal with your subordinates, as you deal with your servants, do not intimidate them, do not abuse them, do not be inconsiderate or rude. Why? Because at the end of the day, we have one true master who is God Almighty, and with him there is no partiality. The value that he has placed on us is not dependent on our status, is not dependent on our wealth, is not dependent on our skin color. His value is standard for every single one of us. And so Paul says, treat your servants with respect and dignity. As I bring this to a close, in these portions we have read today, Paul addresses the Christians on how to behave in their family relations. He summarizes this behavior with the principle of submission. And he also gives instruction to each and every role respectively. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey and honor your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Servants, serve sincerely. And masters, treat your servants with dignity and respect. All these instructions are followed by a motive or a main reason why. And that reason is reverence for Christ. That reason is adoration for Christ. It is a demonstration that as a believer, we are submitted to the authority of Jesus in our lives. And at the end of the day, every one of us, depending on the role that we play, is going to be accountable to God. It doesn't matter if the people in the same relation with you have not kept their part, have not played their part. You remain faithful, play your part, because you will be accountable to God. You will be accountable to Jesus, who is the master of all things. As we saw in Ephesians 1 verse 10, that God's plan was that in his time he will bring everything under the authority of Jesus, applying the principle of submission for a believer in their family relations is submitting to the lordship of Jesus. At this point, I want to encourage you, if you have not given your life to Jesus, God loves you, and nothing can turn his love away from you. You may feel very far from God. You may feel distant. You may feel empty. God loves you. And salvation has been made available to everybody. It says, as many as received him as Lord and Savior, he gave the right to become a child of God. And so right now, I want to invite you, if you have not given your life to Jesus, would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I confess I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. and I believe that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have said that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You are a child of God. We'd like to get in touch with you and share some material that will help you on this journey that you have now begun. So write to us at connect@watotochurch.com and we'll be more than happy to get back to you. I'd like to encourage you, stay with us as we continue in the service. God richly bless you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.